30 20 5 4 3 2 1
Ignition sequence start.
This is just the beginning.
Are you ready?
Here comes the best part.
1 2 3
Go. Life Matters, a five-time winner of the best morning show in Wisconsin, hosted by Nancy Douglas and Tom Giovannone.
All of you, get ready.
Life Matters begins on Lake 96.1.
Welcome to Life Matters. Ooh, exciting day today.
Yeah, it really
exciting
is.
Exciting day. Well, it's the Elkhorn Antique Flea Market is today. And trust me when I tell you, you definitely want to go. This is not the last one. September is the last one, but it's the second to last one. They got a lot of great stuff. Amy and I went yesterday.
I know, and there's always good picking, and we're running out of room.
I am not.
You've got a house to decorate.
So, yeah.
Projects
well, and she,
to make.
I take her with me because she's got a good eye.
Okay. She does. And she, her visions are
and
legendary.
She spots things that I don't see right away.
Right.
And then, you know, so, yeah. But
well, that's how our house got where it is.
I know. I've got goals.
She
so
just points and we do it.
It gets done, right? Yeah. How's the chickens?
Chickens are happy.
How's the roosters?
The roosters are plenty. We've got three.
So can I just ask, like, why do you not want rooster? What is the hang up? I mean, obviously roosters don't lay eggs, and that's the whole point of having the chickens.
Right.
But, like, what is the reason why you, like, get rid of them?
The roosters will fertilize the eggs.
Oh,
so
right.
Then
you
have
chicks.
More chicks.
Oh,
and that's, we're not
duh,
looking
Nancy.
For that. And also, roosters are extremely loud.
They're mean.
Yeah, they can be very aggressive, but we live in a pretty quiet neighborhood, and chickens are loud on their own, but you add the crowing of a rooster in there all the time. Yeah,
are they doing that?
No,
not
they're
yet?
Too young for that.
Okay.
If they were, they'd be gone.
Oh, okay.
But
so what do
they
do with them? Do you
they
eat
have
them?
Homes? Yeah, if we didn't, we have some people who want them.
Oh, okay.
So when they hit that age, they can have them.
Right.
But the initial plan was to consume them, you know, when they hit like 6 months old.
So do
old
they
enough.
Taste like chicken?
Yeah, they're chickens.
But they're roosters.
Well,
are they the same? Is that the same
well,
thing?
Well, we could butcher one and, you know, have a taste off.
I don't know.
Tasting contest thing.
Does it?
No, I think they
like,
taste
like, do you put
the
it
same.
In a black bag? Who was suggesting? Oh, Beth. Yeah, put the meat in a black bag. You'll never know what's what. Or a brown paper bag, a black bag. I don't know what I'm
saying.
Okay, so you just get rid of them. You don't.
Yeah, that's what we'll do. Some people, they want them. They want to have, you know, they want to produce their own chickens.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they need the rooster to fertilize the egg
and all
that.
Right, that makes sense.
You know, each to their own. We're way bigger than I ever wanted to be.
Right.
I didn't want.
You're not
sad
that three of them are going.
No, I'm happy.
Right.
I'm very happy. And I'm very happy they're going to a home because.
You're a
they
hunter,
have names.
But there's no. Oh
yeah,
God!
They have
oh
names.
Boy!
So I think Amy probably would have a little bit of an issue eating foghorn and leghorn.
I told you not to name them.
I didn't name any of them. I don't do that.
Does she have the names for all the chickens?
Not all of them, but they're
and she
we
knows
got more.
She knows.
Oh God, yeah.
Which one is which?
Mm-hmm. Started out with Big Red, and we're going from there.
God, that cracks me up.
Yeah, she's even naming Dylan's chickens.
Oh, God.
But Amy, you know, she's out there every morning and every night. We're still getting mulberries. They love mulberries.
Yeah.
So she smashes them up and feeds them.
Yeah, they love those.
And she pets them. And, you know, she's having fun with it, which is great. I love watching her out there.
How are the dogs with the chickens?
They could care less.
How's Mav?
Mav's doing good.
Yeah?
But Amy will take them and the dogs sniff them and lick them. And
then they're like, bleh.
Yeah, they care less.
You're not meat yet.
My dogs aren't aggressive that way. We got deer in the backyard, and they'll sit there and look at them like, oh, yeah, deer.
Mm.
Big deal.
Yeah.
They don't chase squirrels. They just want to play with their ball.
The ball, that's it. They just want to play with the ball.
Or lay around.
Or lay there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those are good dogs. Or bark if you are not supposed to be there. They definitely
yes,
do that,
they
though.
Definitely get loud.
Mm-hmm.
Maverick especially. He's
really?
Very alert, yeah.
Is he getting there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he learned how to bark.
Oh. How's his ears? Still working on him?
Yeah. Getting nightly massages. They're not standing up yet. But he's just 5 months old.
Right, he's
so
just a baby. Right.
We still got a ways to go.
Of course, they're all babies. Doesn't matter how old they are.
Right.
They're just a baby.
Right.
He's
doing good. The structure is done. Well, almost done. I got to build one more door.
For the chickens?
Yeah, it's all custom, you know.
Right.
So I'm making the I made the coupe and the doors and all that for the coupe. The run is almost done, and I'm making the doors for the run.
Right.
I got one left to do, and then that'll be completely.
What happens
secure.
In the winter?
We'll tarp it.
Okay.
Just to got keep it. The you know the wind and stuff out.
Sure.
And but we'll learn as we go.
Like weather, like they have a warm place to go, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
they
the
just,
coop
okay.
will be warm.
Right. Okay.
The coop will be at least 45, 50 degrees, and they'll be full
grown.
You know
me, I'm not a farmer.
Well, I'm not either. I'm learning as we're going. Obviously, we can raise chickens though, because we haven't killed any yet. But yeah, they'll have the coop will be warm for them, and we'll. Everyone says that egg production goes down in the winter, so we'll see.
Right.
But it's all the learning
Seems
process.
Natural.
Yeah, I'll tarp the outside of the run to keep the wind out. It's completely covered, so they don't have to worry about snow or rain.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah. Woohoo.
Woohoo. And isn't this coop attached to the Taj garage?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's all one big unit.
Yep.
Well, you know, it's kind of where I put it, it's kind of perfect.
It's perfect.
Space for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's not seen from the road, it's not seen from the house. But it's right there, and mm-hmm. it's filling an area that was a junk collector.
Right. What were you going to do with it? Right.
Yeah. It,
right.
Old tires wound up out there, right. or, you know, I got to fix that trailer. I'll park it there. The truck's
right.
at there.
Right.
So, no. It
got rid of some bad habits for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
yeah.
That
yeah,
makes
it's,
sense.
And I actually put the door, the certain, it's a maintenance door. It's a double door to
yeah.
get into the run.
Right.
I put that next to the addition on the garage. So we have to keep that area clean.
Right.
So it's
there you go.
Forced, you know, cleanliness.
Right. right.
I guess.
Good. That's
yeah.
awesome. I'm glad it's coming along. I haven't been over there in a couple
days. I'll
take
some pictures.
Yeah.
Well, come on over.
I know.
We'll come over today when you're done with the flea market.
Well, yeah. No, I'm not going today. I went yesterday.
Oh, you're not going
again?
I don't
need to go back.
You sure?
That's well, you know.
You got everything you needed?
The bank says I should maybe avoid the flea market today.
Is there something you regret
yesterday.
Passing up that you should go find again?
No, because I'm not a good passer-upper. Yeah.
Yeah, I've learned that lesson.
Mm-hmm. I have to. The problem is that I have too many people between my husband and you and Amy and myself and my son-in-law and everybody that will either help me move something or carry something or whatever. Like, I have no limits as to what I can and cannot. And I'm only 2.5 blocks away from it at this
right.
point. So I have got to be self-aware of what I am moving back and forth. If you see me pulling a wagon with a dresser in it by, you know, through the square on the way to my house, you know I've gone overboard.
Yep.
And everybody else is looking at me like, you need nothing else.
Look away,
and
look
I'm
away.
Like, forget it. I'll just do it myself. And I got my little green wagon and I'm trucking along. So, yeah. That's
well,
I
okay.
yeah. So
as
I
long
have,
as you know.
It's I'm aware of the problem. So anyway, let's talk just a few minutes about National Night Out last week. You and I were both there.
Good times.
We took Mike Mason along with us, who had a great time. He hadn't been. And when I first said, hey, you're going to come. You're going to broadcast live from there. I just think that it's going to be a great time for you. And, you know, people really like Mike Mason.
Oh, yeah.
He's really funny. They ask for him when they mm-hmm. find out he's there. They definitely want to come and talk to him. He had a really great time. I will tell you, though. I think that it is possible that Jean Jacobs and her team, including Dan Nelson, all these guys, I think that it might have been the best National Night Out we have had.
It was packed.
It was packed. There were more everything.
Yep.
More of absolutely everything. And then canine demonstrations, fireworks, you know, lighting up at the end of the night, the food, the booths, there was just so many people and so many community mm-hmm. organizations that stepped in and helped. We met several people that we had no idea these organizations
right.
existed and that we're going to have on the show because more
yep.
people need to know about these kind of things. There's a school called for kind of like special needs kind of thing, but anyway, it's a private thing, but it's called Bloom 360.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to have Laura in here and she's going to talk about what they have going on here in the near future. I mean, we just met so many new people from new organizations that are helping in our communities that we want to highlight. And so we're really looking forward to that. Like that was the highlight
yeah.
of the evening for me.
I always enjoy it because I get to see guys, you know, all the everything you talked about, but also I see guys that I worked with that I haven't seen, you know, since last year. And yeah, no, it was an absolute blast.
It was. It was.
And the food was delicious.
Yep. And tons of it. There's always tons of food.
And the
they had so much more. They had like cookies. They had corn this year. They had so much more. Everything Dan Nelson told us the other day, last week, week before, whenever he was on. I don't know when he was on.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything he told us was there, plus some. I mean, it just was awesome. And so kudos to them. Just remember, if you missed it this year, it's on the first Tuesday in August every year at the Walworth County Fairgrounds, National Night Out. And if you have an organization that you think, you know, should be or could be involved, definitely find them on Facebook, send them a message, reach out, and plan for next year. Because if you weren't there, you missed it.
Yeah,
it was
you
great
definitely
time.
Missed it.
But fantastic job to those folks that
put
that together. Oh, my God.
Hands down.
It was unbelievable.
Yep.
It was awesome. Yep.
The kids
and yes,
had a blast.
The light bar came off the station vehicle. Please don't panic.
We're not going to tell you when.
Right.
But it did come off.
It did. It did.
And I think one of the coolest things there was the haircuts.
I think that's awesome.
You know, good for Gateway getting involved in that.
Right.
And I actually know one of the cosmetology instructors. She does a great job. But to bring her students up and have them doing it. Great
they did
idea.
A ton of haircuts too. They sent
and
out
what a burden off the parents,
right?
You know?
And they sent out a follow up email about how many haircuts they gave, and I want to say it was something like 47 haircuts or something.
Oh wow!
And which is a lot.
I mean,
they're only there for 4 hours,
right?
So, but don't quote me on that number. But it was a good deal. It was a very good.
I think if more people knew about it, they would have done a lot more haircuts.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, that could be overwhelming. They could have a whole row of people helping out with that. But, you know, having it right before school starts like it is and bringing the community together and it is a really, really good time. And it's very heartwarming to see children interacting with first responders from little kids to, you know, to teenagers that are having that lesson reinforced to them that, always, always, always run to a first responder.
Right.
They will always help you. Always. And so many kids either don't know, don't get that lesson, maybe, you know,
they don't have the
wrong
exposure.
They don't have the exposure. You know, first responders are human beings and they wouldn't be in the positions that they're in if they didn't love other human beings and want to help. And so they're the first people that you run to when you need help. And it's awesome that kids can just interact and get that personality. You know, that to judge, just to feel that personal, I don't know what you call it, commitment, I guess, to their safety and have that one-on-one. So it was awesome.
Yep.
It was great.
Definitely
so anyway, but speaking of a good time, Renee Wilging is here. She's always up for a good time.
It will be fun.
Yeah, we have no idea what we're going to talk about, as usual.
Do we ever?
With Renee. We never do. We absolutely never do. But Renee Wilging from Hendricks Wilging Insurance joins us next right here on Life Matters on Lake 96.1.
Life Matters continues on Lake 96.1.
Welcome back to Life Matters. Renee Wilging joins us this morning.
Hello.
She is with Hendricks Wilging Insurance Company. However, we will not be talking about insurance with her because we never really do.
We might for a second.
I had a couple things that maybe to bring up.
We could be talking about bees or
chickens.
Guys getting run over by semis or
jumping out of or
chickens.
Falling. No. Mikey fell out of an airplane.
Oh, is that where we're going
or
now?
Getting run over by a tree.
He's going to like that. He's going to be like, that's
or acrobatics down the stairs.
Yeah. And he landed
or
on his feet.
Hot tub diving.
Fell out of the airplane and landed on his feet. Yeah, hot tub diving.
Knows where this is going to go.
Well, I can't help but notice that you, in fact, are completely whole and not broken or bruised or anything.
I have to take care of Mikey.
So proud of you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It helps when you have to take care of your broken husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he had surgery and all this. So if we recall, he fell out of an airplane.
He got
hit by a truck and
walking into a gas station.
The truck wasn't walking into the gas station.
No, Mike was walking into a gas station and the truck
rainstorm.
Mowed down by a Peterbilt.
Yeah. So, yep. And the guy took off.
The guy took off like a jack, you know what? So, anyway, so he had surgery on his shoulder.
Yeah,
he ripped shoulder surgery.
And that's how I say it too.
Yeah.
Shoulder surgery. Yeah, so his bicep got ripped in half and his rotator cuff got ripped in half.
Oh,
and then he had two other tears. But no, he's actually out of the brace. All the equipment left my house, thank God. So we're doing that.
Oh, wow, he's flying through
He's flying through it. So now he's in active physical therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So he was in passive where they were moving his arm.
Right. Yeah, the positive movement chair.
Yeah. So now he's in active, and it really is hard, and he is, like, in a lot of pain again because he's got to do it himself. So these muscles haven't been working. So
when my husband had that surgery, this was so long ago, they didn't really have the passive thing. Like, they just had him start going to physical therapy, and he hated it, and he came back and said, I'm not going to go see Olga, the Nazi therapist, anymore.
Yeah, that's how it is now. It's the Nazi therapist.
So I was like, dude, you have to get...
You
and
do
he
have
never
to
went
it.
Back. I mean, he's fine, I guess. Well, his shoulder's fine. But, he never went. But he went, like, 3 times. And the first time that he went, they started messing with the wrong shoulder, and he just let them. And he's like, too stupid to figure out which shoulder it is.
Because then it's not going to hurt so bad. You know?
Right.
So he's just like,
it's fine.
Right.
Yeah, but
Range of motion is awesome.
You're progressing. You're doing so good.
And then finally, And so finally he said, it's the other shoulder. So, yeah, that was a nightmare. But you know what? I have heard, and you have had it, right?
I've had two.
Amy has had it. Now, Mike has had it. Ty has had it. I have heard that shoulder surgery is some of the worst
pain
surgery that you
horrible.
Can have.
Yeah, my son had it. He's got cables holding his shoulder together. So he graduated from high school. It was from rugby and all the sports. And mm-hmm. his first time up at college, he had to have all his equipment with him. Because they had drill holes,
right.
And they have cables holding his shoulder together. I've never seen my son, like, turn white in pain. You know, I mean, the pain was... But he's been really good for Mike because he's okay.
Right.
Dad, you got to take your pill. I know you're feeling fine, but take it now before you go to bed,
right.
Because it's going to hit you in the middle of the night when that
right.
when that nerve
then
blocker breaks.
It takes forever to get back to that level of pain.
Well, we had two recliners.
Yeah.
And because for the first 36 hours or something, he had to take pain medicine and then 2 hours later, ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Then 2 hours later. And so we slept in recliners in the living room, both of us.
You slept with him in the recliner? What a good way.
Two recliners. I love sleeping in the recliner. Oh, yeah. I love sleep. I love that. Anyway. And I don't know. It's comfortable.
Whatever works.
And so he had the surgery on a Thursday. We went through all of that over the weekend and everything.
Yeah,
then
horrible.
Monday morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to go to work for a little while. And you make sure you do your stuff. Make sure you take your medicine, all that. Well, he decided he was going to not take the pain medicine. And when I got home, he was in so much pain that he was, like, sick.
Like going to pass out
throwing
sick. I mean,
up
it was
sick.
That bad.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude. I laid the pills out for you. Cannot.
Yeah.
First of all, you have to wean yourself off of that stuff in the first place.
Right.
Second of all, you just had this. And he was so sick that I thought it was going to re-injure. Oh my God, it was horrible. So I had to take two more days off. And yeah, it is. I heard that
I think it's the shoulder, then the knee, then the hip. I guess
I have
is pretty
been told
easy.
That shoulder surgery is the worst of all the surgeries.
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard too.
But I've also noticed that. Since my first one, which was out 25 years ago, it was quite a while,
mm-hmm.
To now, the recovery is like light speed.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
I think the surgeries
better,
are better,
yeah.
And they've learned a lot on the recovery. Amy was in a positive movement chair the day she got home from surgery.
Yeah,
so was Mike. We got that
Wonder Woman.
We got that ahead of time, and Mike had to be on it the day that we came home.
Mm-hmm.
He had to be in it.
Yeah, to get it loose.
And he wants to hunt. You know, and he can't golf this year, so he wants to hunt. So he's
right.
really actually paying attention to the doctors for once, you know, and just doing everything he's supposed to do. So he
when it's affecting your hunt, it's pretty
and
damn
that's what
serious.
It is. He should be good mid September, end of September.
Perfect.
You know, and he's like, okay, I may not be able to bow hunt this year. Maybe I could, but maybe I won't.
Well, you know, if he had good
like
people around him, they could hook him up with a crossbow.
He does have a crossbow.
Well, then he's set.
But I did tell him that we're going to get him, instead of his tree stand that he's got to climb so high up, we're going to get him a tower. He is 63.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid of him falling out because he's out there
I'm
alone.
Not saying yeah to the 63 thing as you look at me like
it's
I think
that
that's
old.
I'm just
saying
afraid that he'll fall
because
out of
the
tree
shoulder
stand
thing.
And then he won't, you know, I got him an Apple Watch. He doesn't wear it. So that if he does fall... You know, I know where he's at, you know, but no, he goes out there by himself, and it's like, if he falls, so stay in a little building, you're not falling anywhere.
Right.
So he's going to get a building.
Listen.
And he's very excited about it, but I'm like,
she's also going to put a heater and a bed and right.
No, because then I'll go turkey hunting. If I have something that I can go into that I'm not going to.
Oh, that poor man.
Then I'm going to go turkey hunting. Well, I didn't put drapes in it or anything yet. No, he's going to pick it up. he gets so mad about the cabin.
I could just see Renee in a turkey stand with him. So where's the turkeys? How come there's not any turkeys?
How come
where's the turkeys coming from?
How come we see turkeys all the time except when we're hunting? Well, there's no
is that a turkey
turkeys
there?
Out here.
Quiet, woman. Quiet. I know. Go bake something.
Oh, I know. I know. Jesus. He gets mad about
please
the cabin.
Don't send emails. He doesn't mean that. God. Anyway.
Listen, the woods is, that's a sanctuary for us.
I am saying, though.
I won't shoot a deer, but I would shoot a turkey.
Because they're ugly?
I don't know. They're mean. Turkeys can be very mean. Yeah. Yeah.
So no, like, because they're delicious.
I know.
Well, they are.
Hello. Plus, I can shoot a bird. I can catch a fish. I'm not going to.
Not shooting Bambi?
I'm not. I can't. And truly, like, we now have all the Bambis, you know, on the land.
Yeah.
And I've pretty much named them all.
Oh, God.
So that
makes it easier.
I'm just like, if I've named
them. Here comes Rudolph.
If I shoot named them, you can't have them. So, you know, it's like.
Amy's naming chickens. So, believe me, we got our problems.
Yep. You have to name your chickens.
She said, what do we get? We got three roosters.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you got to kill.
Yeah. She said, so what are we going to do with the roosters? I said, just eat them.
Yeah.
Is that what you, like, I have
well,
no
idea. Well, you can't kill Foghorn.
Oh, God.
I was like,
oh,
yeah. I certainly can.
Wait till Amy sees what Foghorn tries to do with Flo and Lucy and all the rest of them. Then she's going to be like, Foghorn's out of here because it's horrible.
Yeah, no, we've already found
Foghorn. It's horrible.
So when they get a little bit older, they'll
how do you know when you buy them whether they're chickens
they're
or roosters?
They're supposed to be sexed ahead of time, but sometimes they goof.
Most times they're not.
Yeah.
Because how do you even tell? Like,
they can
know?
Tell.
I don't know.
Oh.
Yeah, the when
it's
they
like a dog where you turn it
over
and you can
know.
Tell. The chicken dudes
the chicken
know?
Dudes know where you get your chickens from. They know, and then every now and then you get one that creeps in, or you get a bunch of pullets, and all of a sudden then you get a meat chicken, and you're like, "Well, I'm calling her Dolly. She's got a really big breast," and then you find out it's a meat chicken, and then she can't even walk because her breasts are so
and
big.
Now Dolly's for dinner.
Dolly was for dinner.
The
and
things
I'm like,
we talk about on Sunday
like,
morning.
What the heck is that?
Can we go back though for a minute to the surgery?
Okay.
Of the chicken?
No. Oh. Let's go back to the
that's
surgery.
That's just chopping their head off.
Because
so surgery. I guess you could call
brutal
it surgery.
Brutal surgery.
Because so I bloody. Will say this. Like you said, your surgery was 25 years ago. Ty's shoulder surgery was 20 years ago, probably. They have changed how they do that so much.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My 80-year-old father-in-law had double knee replacement surgery. Knee replacement surgery at the same time 2 years ago.
Yeah,
was up and walking. He got it done in the fall, and he was playing softball in the spring.
So he was doing what he was supposed to do. Like
exactly.
My dad did double, and he doesn't move as much. You know what I'm like, Dad?
No.
You have to move. You have to.
Oh yeah,
move. Yeah. You walk in the same day. You got to get those joints moving.
Yep.
And my sister's hip, she got her hips replaced, and it was like I'm walking her up the stairs. You know, we're coming home the same day.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what?
It's
stationary
crazy.
Is fatal whether you have surgery or not.
Oh, absolutely.
I totally
so,
agree.
But I mean, it's just the way they do the surgery is just so much better than they used to be.
Shoulder surgery is the worst.
It is. I agree with that.
I've never had it, but you
and
can just
hard
tell.
To say.
Shoulder
surgery.
Yeah.
Try and say that.
Certainly
shoulder
is.
I mean,
surgery.
I've had kidney stones.
Oh, I know.
So I know pain.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine my shoulder, like, not being able to move it. And
you can't breathe.
Like, right. Like, it's just, I mean, kidney stones, I know that they're going to go away. I know that I can get something done immediately, and all that. But your shoulder, man, that's not it's a process.
It's amazing
then
how
you
much
can't
you use
move it.
It.
Right.
You can't move it at all.
And I have
a
claustrophobia problem sometimes, and I think that I would have that. With not being able, like, just, I don't know.
Just not being able.
Nope.
Just
nope,
being
nope,
confined,
nope.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get used to it. Yeah.
Broken ribs are like
it's
that
rough.
Too.
Really?
Any surgery is rough.
Yeah. Yeah, when you break your ribs, that lasts a long time. It's like 3 months of cracking. Mm-hmm.
Are stair ribs worse than, like, hot tub ribs?
I thought the hot tub ribs were way worse than the stair ribs. But the stair ribs, I also had a lacerated spleen. So that hurt as well.
Priority.
Yeah, I think that overshadowed the.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so that one, you know, and I had a little bit of a headache from the fall. So, you know, the hot tub one, I just landed really hard on the deck. So it was just really concentrated on the...
If you would have landed in the hot tub, it would have been a lot tougher.
Well, yeah. Well, now my son has, you know, OSHA-approved three points of contact as I'm coming in. And seriously, we shifted the hot tub and turned it around, and the stairs are against where the railing is, and I have 3 points of contact at all times.
You know those nettings they have around the trampolines for little kids? That's what they got around her hot tub.
They have a lift. They just lift Renee out and put her on the deck.
And, you know, it just... Sometimes I get too hot, you know.
In the hot tub.
In the hot tub. I just, all of a sudden, I get...
There's a song about that.
I get really... So I lose my balance and I fall.
Hot in here. Oh, my God. Yeah, it's too hot.
And my leg gets caught coming over. So now I have my 3 points of contact.
Should always have 3 points of contact.
Yeah. So,
especially when climbing.
Climbing in and out, yeah.
Yep.
Going in, if you fall in, it's not so bad because you just go splash.
I just found a beer token in my pocket from the Sports Page Bar.
Oh my gosh.
Let's go.
It's green, so I bet you it's from that, when Jordan does the
pub crawl.
Yeah, the pub crawl.
That is so funny.
I still think they need to rename that to the pub stagger.
Yeah. Yeah, I've actually never been to it, but it's raising more and more money every year. Jordan's doing a good job with that, so.
For sure.
Yeah.
Hey, do you have anything you want to talk about
insurance?
Insurance.
You know, the only thing I was, a couple things popped up in the last couple weeks about, you know, when you say you buy a boat, you know, we can put those boats normally on your homeowner's policy or we do a separate policy.
Mm-hmm.
And it really depends. You need to talk to your agent about that because there's sometimes that it makes sense to put it on your homeowner's policy and sometimes it makes more sense to have it on a separate policy.
Hmm.
So I wanted to just say, like, If you have like a pontoon boat and you're just doing little cruises around and stuff, mm-hmm. I would think that would be okay to put that on your homeowner's policy because the risk is just not as great.
Mm-hmm.
But say you have like a ski boat. Let's do a separate policy because a separate policy will give you things like salvage and pollution coverage. And, you know, it gives you extra coverage that you're not going to get on your homeowner's policy.
Right.
And the other thing you want to take into consideration is in the olden days, and I'm just talking 10 years ago, there weren't surcharges for making homeowners' claims. Companies really didn't surcharge your policy. They looked at claims, but your rates didn't get affected like it does on auto insurance. So if you made a boat claim on your homeowner's policy, it was not a big deal. Now there's surcharges. I mean, so many things have changed so much, you know? So maybe in that case, if you are not just tooling around on a pontoon boat.
Right.
Maybe that's something we're going to want to write a separate policy for so we don't have that issue.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we don't have that issue of claims, we got better coverage, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I'm just, you know, sometimes...
Communication.
Yeah, what you're using it for, really, like, don't just text your client or your agent and say, oh, I bought a boat.
Yeah,
Your agent should say, so what are you using it for?
Right.
You know, how are we going to do this? And then you can make a decision. It's cheaper on the homeowner's policy. By all means, it's going to be less expensive. But we're not talking hundreds of dollars difference either.
And I have to assume wave runners and things like that you should always have on their own policy because you're never just floating around on a wave runner.
Normally, yeah. We will, like at our office,
mm-hmm.
almost always we'll write a separate policy unless you have like a real package like a West Bend Mutual or Acuity or, you know, where they write a pack where you can...
It's just everything.
Yeah,
right.
But those policies, it's a true boat program.
Right,
so
right.
Then you have things like salvage coverage and like it's very expensive. Your boat goes underwater and goes down. You got to get that thing out of there right away.
Isn't it something like $500 a day from the DNR if you...
There's a fine.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
High.
But then it's depending on where it went down, you know, there's crane boats mm-hmm. or helicopter. I mean, it's a process to get it out. So your homeowner's policy is not going to give you that. So if you're just on a little channel and doing your pontoon boat, you're not going to worry about that so much. But if you're actually going on Lake Michigan or, you know, even Lake Geneva, you know, it's a bigger, deeper lake.
Mm-hmm.
You got to think about what are you using this thing for? Which is going to be the better way to do it? And so you got to talk to your agent.
Isn't it the same thing as a car, right? So let's say somebody else hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Your boat goes down. They haven't gotten the correct insurance.
Well, their liability has to pay for it. So their liability doesn't have to say salvage or retrieval or wreckage coverage or anything like that. It's part of the liability.
But what if they don't have insurance? Because has insurance on their
boats. You have to make sure your insurance has it.
Exactly.
And if you're on a bigger lake, then you definitely want to have things like uninsured boaters coverage.
Right.
You're not going to get that on a homeowner's policy.
Right.
You are going to get it on a standalone. So if somebody
like
hits you... and you get injured and they don't have insurance, uninsured boaters coverage is going to give you that protection.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get that on a homeowner's policy.
Nope.
So on some of these elite packages, yes, you are. But on a true, like, just add it to your, you know, American Family homeowner's policy or whatever, it doesn't matter what the name of the company is. You're probably not going to have that type of coverage available. So think about what you want it to do and how you use it. If you just have a little fishing boat that you go tooling around, you're probably perfectly fine just putting that on your home policy.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, these guys that are out at 5 in the morning in the fog and everything, they're probably
with
they're
their 300-horsepower engine.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so those guys, I want to write a separate policy as well.
Right.
You know?
You want to get there before the fish wake up.
Well yeah.
And those are very expensive boats, mm-hmm. too. So you're you know, you're looking at if you buy a used $10,000 pontoon boat, let's throw it on the home policy.
Right.
You know, but, you know, price-wise, it's not that much different. But there's a little bit more coverage on the standalone policies,
mm-hmm.
and there's a little bit more claim issue things that you don't have to worry about if it's on the home. So, I mean, that was the only thing I wanted to talk about because I had it come up a couple times. What?
I know.
What?
I'm raising my hand. Tis the season.
Tis the season for what?
To talk about when you send the kid to college.
Oh, yeah.
Renter's insurance.
They've got to have some insurance.
Talk to your agent because 99.99 times of our companies, and we have 40 of them, the child is still considered a resident relative of the household because
mm-hmm.
their primary residence is at home, right? So this is a temporary residence. So 10% of your personal property coverage will extend to them up there. So unless you're a renter and your kid is going away to school,
mm-hmm.
that one you may want to get another renter's policy because there's not a lot of extension coverage.
Right, right.
But if you're a homeowner, you should be okay. But again, it's a conversation you need to have with your agent to make sure, how is this covered? Do I need to take out another policy? What if they move into an apartment and not in the dorms?
I was getting ready to ask you that. What's the difference between, like, saying the whole group of kids is renting a house and they're
depends on the
or
company.
A dorm?
So it depends on the company. So most of our companies are now saying, yeah, we're okay with you. That's still a temporary residence. Even though they're signing an annual lease, it's still a temporary residence because mom and dad is. But each person really should have their own renter's policy.
Don't they force them to? I thought that
they
was
do,
part
not,
of the contract.
Normally, the lease agreement says that they have to have insurance,
right.
But not always. But they're normally saying it. So a lot of times I'll have moms calling us, well, they're signing a lease for their apartment, and then there's three girls going to be, and it's like, okay, well, your particular company, I can still extend the coverage automatically. There's no issue with that. We're totally
to
fine.
To that kid's property.
To kids' property only.
Because that's not going to cover the roommate.
The other roommates.
Everybody has to have their own.
They need to talk to their agents and find out, do you actually need a renter's policy or not? So then you're looking at, if two of them need a renter's policy and one doesn't, should we write just one renter's policy for all three of them?
Mm.
That's a tough one.
And they split the cost, yeah.
And they split the cost. In the olden days, we couldn't do that. Everybody had to have their separate one because you have one tenant leave and destroys the place.
And they have the
other ones are on it. Yeah.
Right.
There's liability
that makes
issues.
Sense.
This is no different than we talked about on the last show. It should be a mandatory thing if you're renting a place. I mean, just
100%
as a property owner covering yourself, you should make sure that they.
Yeah, I would
that's
never.
One of the prerequisites is having renter's insurance.
Right. Every lease I've ever signed, you had to have renter's insurance.
Most of them, I would say there's more that don't have them because I'll have.
Crazy.
We were talking about the one where they moved the washing machine and flooded the place.
Yeah.
And they, you know, I was like, but that had to be intentional because you see the water pouring and
absolutely.
You just leave, you know, but.
Right.
But. No, and that particular one, they had several. I mean, they have like 25 properties.
Oh.
And they don't require it from any of them.
Oh, God.
That's crazy.
You got to protect your asset as the landlord,
right? Because,
right?
I mean, at some point, your, quote, you know, the landlord's, quote, homeowner's insurance is going to catch wind that you're not holding the renters accountable.
Right.
And why should I cover you? When you're not doing your job to protect what we are supposed, the interests of what we're supposed to be covering.
Right. And like, now a lot of times if I write a rental property policy, one of the underwriting questions is, do you require an annual lease and renter's insurance? And so I put yes, because I'm talking to my client saying, this is what you're going to need. You make sure you do. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're definitely going to do that. 2 years down the line, there's a claim and he didn't do it. Technically, your insurance company doesn't have to pay that claim because you said you were doing this part of the underwriting, right? So, you know, you follow through. You know, I know, this, she says she can't afford it. Really? it's less than $10 a month for a basic renter's policy.
Right.
She can afford it.
Right.
Well, if that's the case, knock her rent by $20 to make sure she has insurance.
100 and you see that where now some of these large apartment complexes where they require renter's insurance, they'll say, well, or you can buy ours. And it's a policy in your name. You can we have a program and it'll add $10 a month to your rent to your lease. And so people like sign here. Okay, we got renters.
Right.
It's not a great policy, but for a young kid just starting out, it's like $10,000 in property coverage and kids.
And
go,
they don't have $10,000.
Well, it's a lot better than nothing at all.
Right. Nothing at all, but really. $10,000 doesn't go very far when you look at
linens
and electronics. I mean, everybody thinks of the big stuff, like the furniture and stuff, but all your clothing, all your staples, your linens, your pantry stuff, your
holiday towels.
Hand towels. Your holiday stuff.
I need more hand towels, I've noticed, by the way. I don't have any.
Oh, we got plenty.
No,
you want some?
I don't want yours.
I'll bring them over.
I keep giving them you.
I know.
Giving yours to you.
Now you need some. So this is on your wish list for Christmas?
Yeah, I definitely am going to need some more decorative.
Start decorating.
Yeah.
Your pretty house.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's interesting as we have move forward in this house. So far I have not found anything additionally of concern that I feel like I need to reach out to you about and say, hey, you know, should they know this or they know that, right?
Right.
So, but just, you know, selfishly, personally, when you're remodeling a house, like, and this is totally shifting gears from the renter's thing, but when you're remodeling a house or you do something like we've done, which is buy an older house and, you know, kind of gutted a bunch of it and all of that.
Right. Yeah.
So what are the kind of things that I should be looking for as we go through that maybe the insurance company is going to want to know, hey, you know, it's got this or it's got that or this was removed or that we added this or added that. I mean, we haven't added anything other than, you know, hot water and water softener and
I mean,
a
let us know about
all that, but
the plumbing. Like, are you using PEX? Are you using, you know, so, I mean, that's always nice. It's not going to change a premium, but the company definitely wants to know that, hey, we've got the correct stuff in there. And
Wiring updates.
Really important. Circuit breakers. Yeah, because you have an older house. Mm-hmm. It could have had knob and tube. Mm-hmm. I mean, it could have been, it's old enough to have knob and tube in there. And then, or fuses. A lot of companies won't take fuses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't have fuses. And
then
we
now
are
we're at
upgrading
to
the
circuit breakers.
Box. Yeah.
Yep. So circuit breakers, what amperage do you have? You know, you need at least 100.
We have 200.
So, which, most people have 200 now. So, but back in the day, we used to say 100 amp or more, you know, but that was pretty much really 200.
I mean, our breaker box was upgraded, but we are further upgrading it. And but I would think that they're not going to be concerned that I'm doing that.
No,
right?
Things like, so, like no, yeah. That's not. That's more like that's what they want you to do.
Right.
You know, this is what they expect you to do.
Right.
If you upgrade your fireplaces and put an insert in there with like a blower, they want to know that.
Sure.
You know, stuff that. But pretty much, you know, the roof is the big and scary.
Mm-hmm.
Masonry, because you do have a masonry building, they want to make sure that tuck pointing and all that stuff is all taken care of. So those are big and scary. They really don't care about the foundation and stuff like that so much, just because that's not going to be covered anyway.
Right.
You know, because it's over a long period of time. It's not a sudden and accidental thing.
Right.
But of course, if they did an inspection and they saw that we had foundation issues, it's going to be a flag to them saying improper maintenance of the building. So so there's some things that are underwriting looked at, and some things are rating looked at.
Right.
You know. So,
okay.
You know, I like right now. You know, you got trees coming down from. We've had a pretty windy spring, early summer, and super hot. We've had a lot of big branches come down this year, and normally with homeowners policies, if the branch falls on the ground, it's not covered. It's got to damage some property.
Right.
That's going to trigger your coverage
and
damage to the property. So I've had a lot of where the big branches fell down, and like, hell, it's going to cost me $500 to have it removed. I'm like, well, it's still under the deductible, but it's not covered anyway. Well. Looks like the guy with the tree, he says, my tree's not doing so well. But it's going to cost $5,000 to have this tree removed. You know, big old oak tree. You know, I think my insurance company should pay for that. And I'm like, it's not going to pay for it because that's a maintenance issue.
Right.
What, they just want to wait till it falls? I'm like, well,
no,
here's
that's what you're doing.
Here's the problem. Yeah, you know, and I get what your thought process is. But if you know that this tree is not a happy tree and should be removed, and it falls on your house, the company's got every right to decline that claim.
Sure.
Well, especially when you call and say, hey, cut this tree down for me.
And they say no.
Because I don't want
no.
it to fall in my house. Right. And yeah. they say, well, that's your responsibility.
Yeah. And we.
And then you let it happen.
And all phone calls, you know, automatically get documented. It's not like I can, like, say, I'm not going to put that in the note. It just right. gets documented, you right. know. So, but they can deny it. If there's proof that you knew that this was not a happy tree.
And rightfully so.
And it's right next to your house, you know.
The only tree on our property that was an issue, or that we felt like could be an issue, actually was growing out into power lines.
Yeah.
And so the utility company came out and trimmed it back.
Yeah.
So I got super lucky there. And anything else, like my husband cut down and,
right.
you know, and well, took it to Tom's and burned it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, right. But,
I mean, trees rubbing on your house, like, or your shed or your garage, if you have branches that are touching your house, insurance companies hate that because guess
right.
what? A good windstorm. Now the paint's being rubbed off. Now the shingles are being well, rubbed off. It's a maintenance thing. So you'll
and the
have
squirrels
them
are getting up there and the raccoons and are getting up there. And,
right.
yeah.
You need to go up there and trim them back away from your house so they're
it's
not.
It's called maintenance
it
and homeowner's responsibility.
Right.
Yeah. And
but your insurance is not.
One.
That's not what insurance is
no.
for.
And
insurance is right. for the emergency.
And that's why a lot of the reasons why we had to go through such a horrible transition in the last 3 years mm-hmm. of higher deductibles. You know, roofs being covered at actual cash value and not replacement costs because they weren't there to replace a 30-year-old
no.
roof.
No.
That's called maintenance.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So if you have four hail marks on there, which is not structurally affecting your roof, maybe it is now because it's a 30-year-old roof.
Right.
That's not your insurance company's job. But for
nope.
many years, they were paying for them because the contract did not specify the age of the thing. So
ah.
now, so they were replacing these 30-year-old roofs left and right, and there was nothing there saying that it had to be structurally impaired. And so now that's all been redefined and going with higher wind and hail deductibles. So we should be coming out of the craziness that's been going on for 3-4 years as far as these really double-digit increases.
Making those
things.
And the thing about it is
okay.
that what people have to understand is the insurance is a business.
It is.
Okay. And it's not a scam. It's not a, and in order for people to appropriately benefit from the advantages of having proper insurance, they have to understand that some changes throughout time have to be made.
100%.
This was one of them.
It
okay?
really did. When you look at $1,200 a year in premium, and you got to remember, Wisconsin's got one of the lowest property rates
yeah.
in the country.
Yep.
That's why we were going to lose all these insurance companies.
Right.
Because they're like, so you
we want to charge
12,
more.
You're now, you used to pay $800 a year for your homeowner's insurance, and now you're paying $1,200. And you're just, oh my Lord, that's just craziness. It is. But a roof is $30,000 now.
Right.
So you make one claim.
And they will never recover their money from you.
They will never recover that money from you.
No.
And now you have one claim. Now you have a new roof, and then you go to another company
mm-hmm.
because you have a new roof, and now you can get a better rate because you have a brand new.
Right.
And that's going on constantly. Well, now I can shop anywhere because I don't have a 30-year-old roof anymore.
My rating's
better. I have a brand
better.
New roof.
Mm-hmm.
It was a catastrophic loss because we had a big hailstorm come through. So no company is looking at it. They're actually saying, okay, you can have one weather-related claim. We're
mm-hmm.
not going to look at it.
Right.
So now this new company is getting, you know, a pristine piece of property, and the other company, you know, didn't.
Right.
Right?
Well, I mean,
so
you think about it.
They paid for it, and
right.
they've lost their shirt.
Right.
And multiply that by 20% of their clientele, something's got to give.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So we got companies that got out of personal lines completely.
You know, you go back a second about the price increases.
Yep.
So on homeowners insurance, you think that that increase and you know, those changes that had to be made going through for a lot of different reasons,
right.
whether it was weather, whether it was really, you know, bad policy, which is what that was,
right.
all of that. So those, we've kind of come out of those changes. But a lot of people are saying other rates are going up, other rates are changing. I mean, of course, nothing ever goes down, so forget
everything
about
is,
that.
Everything
but
is mellowing
what do you
out
think?
Now.
Okay.
So autos did go up as
plateau.
Well, and people are like, well, why did my autos go up? Well, it went up because, you know, it used to be somebody rear-ended you and you have a cracked bumper, and I'd say, it's about $2,500.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's $6,000.
Right.
You know what I mean? So auto rates obviously have gone up, and they're like, well, I bought a brand new car, and, you know, my other one's 15 years old, but my dealer told me that my rates are going to go down with this car because it's got all these extra safety. I am like,
nope.
You have a $50,000 car you just bought. we're replacing a $10,000 car. You think that that $50,000 car is going to cost you less money? Granted, if we had the same exact car, two $50,000 cars,
sure.
One with all the safety features and one without, of course that one with the safety features is going to be less expensive. It's pulled off the VIN. We find out all your safety features. It's great. But you can't, these dealers need to stop saying the trade-in of this
right.
$10,000 car for a $50,000, you're going to see a reduction in premium.
Right.
That's
that
not going to happen.
That math ain't
mathin'. Yeah, no,
right.
The math doesn't work.
No,
yeah.
No, it's
it doesn't.
It's going to cost them more to fix anything.
But that's well, another right. thing. And they're like, well, insurance is such a scam. My dealer told me. I'm like, is he his licensed agent? Yeah. You know, right. I'm like, you know, like.
Well, if you use a little common sense, you'll realize it's not a
the
scam.
The math is not math.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you think about it.
It makes sense.
Yeah, right. I mean, that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever because, and because the insurance company, and again, this also applies to healthcare. I hate
right.
to tell you.
Yeah.
The insurance companies have absolutely no control of what it costs
to do
to repair a person, a car, whatever. They cannot control
no.
any of that.
And
all
it's
they
so
can do,
inflated right now.
Right. And so until the auto industry, you know, those prices go down mm-hmm. or, you know, healthcare gets its you know what together and
right.
figures out that it shouldn't cost $5,000 to go to the emergency room
right.
for 20 minutes. I mean, you know, until that snowball effect that has happened over the years with all
right.
that pricing, until that somehow levels off, plateaus, they get it figured out, the insurance companies are caught in the middle.
They
are. They're trying to do what's best and to protect you, your car,
right.
your house, your family, your boat, whatever. But they can't do it at a loss.
Yeah, and they
have
been.
Because then
we
have
no
insurance.
They have
right.
been working at a loss.
They absolutely
and,
have.
And when Wisconsin, we saw a big kick up 2 years ago of 25%, something we have never seen before in our state. And then we had a little like 8% the next year. But you look at the states around us, they did double digits, higher double digits than we did. Minnesota went up 45%, and then they had another like 18%. It was supposed to be another 25%. Illinois, 33%, and another 25%. So the states around us are making a slush fund a little bit more than Wisconsin is.
Right.
You know, for us, we had that 25% rate increase. Then we've had like little like 6 or 7
sure.
popping in. Now we're getting, you know, notices from our insurance companies going, oh, we're going to do a 2%.
Right.
That's back to normal.
Right.
Normal is 1 or 2%
right.
every year.
Right.
It goes up a little just for cost of living.
Right.
But they have to make sure that that margin is correct. And for more than one reason. For one, they have to have that money to pay out these claims.
Right.
Right. But then they also have a reinsurance company that backs them that if it's a catastrophic loss in a widespread area, they don't have the reserves. Your insurance company doesn't have
right.
the reserves to pay all those. So they have an insurance company that insures them for these big catastrophic losses.
Right.
These reinsurance companies are saying, we're losing our shirts in Wisconsin. We're not getting enough premium because they get a percentage of that.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get paid. And we're coming down and dipping down and saving your butts too often.
Right.
We're moving out of Wisconsin.
Right.
Well, we lose our reinsurance companies, we lose our insurance companies. Then we become Florida or California, where you have a handful of carriers willing to write here, and our premiums go up 500%. So this 25% sucks. It sucks. It's not, especially in this economy, it sucked. And it going up another small, you know, not small, but another bigger than normal increase. But in the grand scheme of things, it's to save you money to keep these insurance companies here because if they leave, then we're in trouble.
They have to right the ship.
They do.
I mean, it's...
Yeah. And they were at... So we get loss ratios and stuff like that. So they were at about 140%. So so for every dollar out, they paid an extra $40, you know? So that's what they were at on average in Wisconsin because of these increases. Truly, they can make bank if they stay just around the 190 to 1 because of the investment money,
mm-hmm.
you know, because they
mm-hmm.
get their premiums. And
right.
if they stay just under 1, obviously they like to be closer to 60, you
sure.
know, so they can build up their reserves. But they can survive, you know, from 90 to 1. It wasn't that way. And it was like between 120 and 140 for quite a long time. So they, you know, the reinsurance companies have had to come down and
right.
save their butts a bunch. So
right.
so we're riding our ship. And we saw as agents, at least if you're a decent agent, you saw this coming almost 10 years ago that
right.
something needed to give here. You know, it just, we saw it. But insurance companies don't do anything fast. You know, they'll say, hey, we're going to change things the first quarter of 2026, and it's, you know, the fourth quarter. Well, maybe the first quarter of 2027. You know, it's just, things take time.
We're still researching.
Plus, they have to be approved by the state. So
right.
Any rates that they do have got to be approved by the state of Wisconsin. They can't just...
They don't just do it willy-nilly.
Everything's got to be filed with the state in Wisconsin.
And, you know, this is where people, they don't understand, for instance... How the stock market affects them on a day-to-day basis, right?
100%.
Because what you have to understand is that the insurance company's income is not just
premiums.
So what they do is they take your money, and when they so let's say they collect $100 today, they take $50 of it and they set it aside to pay, let's say, immediate losses.
Yep. Okay? It's got to go into reserve. And
right.
That's financial stability.
Let's say 10% or 15% or 20% of that money, and they invest it.
100%.
Whether it's short-term or long-term, so that they can make interest or, you know, make money off of that money so that they can then turn around and take that
right.
And put it into that fund to help. So they're not just... So this is why it's imperative across the board for every American, for the whole big vicious circle, that the stock market does well, that
right.
Tariffs provide income, that this happens, that happens. And so it's all... And I go back to saying, it's all one big business model. And people don't understand that
right.
You are in that circle. You are in that circle because you want your insurance company to make good decisions about payouts.
They want to honor the contract.
Right.
You sign
about
a contract. I pay
investing.
X amount. I get this.
Right. And so they just... So understand that it's
right.
Not like they're not also trying to supplement
right.
In other ways...
And
in
they're
order.
Regulated on that. They can't
exactly.
Go and buy, you know, crazy, weird stocks.
They're not
stocks.
Buying Bitcoin.
Yeah, they,
right.
they can't do that. They're regulated on what
exactly.
They can do. And then if you're with a mutual company, there's dividends, and those dividends are reinvested.
Mm-hmm.
So in the olden days, you know, the insureds, being that it was a mutual company, would get little dividend checks.
Right.
Now it's not that way. Most of them, there might be some mutual companies that are like that, but those dividends get reinvested
right.
into the
right.
operations.
Because
if they
weren't doing that,
right.
Your premiums would be substantially
oh, yeah.
Higher.
Well, yeah.
Substantially higher.
But it's all regulated by
sure.
The state of Wisconsin. So it's not like the insurance companies can do all these crazy things.
Right.
It has to be... You know, validated and approved by the state of Wisconsin. So you know, they've got eyes watching them at mm-hmm. All times. So don't think that they're doing this and, you know, they're just making a buck and they're just trying to mess with us all and all.
Nope.
It's, yeah, they're trying to make a buck so they can stay in business so
right.
They can be there to help you.
So they have that much more money to cover what you're
right.
Right. What you need.
Nobody's
yes, they want to make money.
In business
right.
To lose money.
No.
Right.
Other than the Democratic Party.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
But if you're not going to stay in business if you're not making money. It
right.
Just only makes
right.
Sense.
It's
well,
the Stephen Colbert Show issue.
Right.
Stephen Colbert's show sucks. Okay?
Like
that is the reason why it's being canceled. Nobody wants to sponsor it.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to pay, and they're overpaying the host. Okay?
Yeah.
When you pay that guy $40 million a year, but you can only sell $20 million of advertising to his show.
Right.
That is not going to stay
right.
On the air.
I don't think people understand that.
They do not.
With TV,
it had
radio,
to do
and everything.
With politics.
It's, you know, you need those advertising dollars to
yep.
Stay
right.
Afloat.
Hello,
you know, right? I mean, radio, same thing. If you don't, so if your host is really leaning one way and making enemies of sponsors,
right?
I mean, you see the same thing in athletics,
right?
You see a major athlete. Making poor decisions personally.
Right.
Sponsorship is gone.
Yep.
Right.
No more
I mean,
commercials.
It's gone. I mean, they get a nice paycheck, but they make money off that sponsorship.
Mm-hmm.
That's their bread and butter, not
right.
Not their paycheck,
right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
So
they can't, they, and
the sponsorship
but,
is everything.
Right. And the insurance companies are the same way. They cannot continue to pay out without having more than one source of income. And again,
right.
This is where people need to understand that the whole vicious economic circle that you don't want to be a part of,
right.
You have to be a part of and
yeah.
You have to root for success.
You do. I mean, and, you know, there's also the situation where insurance companies, people will call me and go, well, I looked up that insurance company. I don't want that one because I saw a negative review. Think about that, people. People, think about that. Who takes the time, especially for an insurance company, to go online and you leave a positive review because they did what they were supposed to do?
Nobody ever gives compliments. Nobody does.
The only thing you're ever going to see
rare.
Is those negative ones.
Right.
You're going to see those. So I try and tell people, I like that you're going online and seeing this, but I've worked with this company for 35 years.
Right.
This is what I see. You know, and compared to other companies, if it's a company that they're not paying their claims or they're not servicing things correctly, guess what? I'm not writing with them.
Right.
Because it's a pain in the butt for me, and now it's egg on my face to look at my client in the eye going, I promised you this, but you got this.
Right.
Sorry.
Right.
No, I can't do that because it's my reputation. But insurance companies the same way. It's their reputation that they need, not so much sponsorship, but they need their reputation out there in the Wisconsin community to be good.
But the only way you're going to get this good advice is to reach out to somebody like Renee. How do we get in touch with you?
You can call me at 262-742-4029.
Excellent.
Thank
you so much for joining
us.
Thank
you. We talked insurance.
A little
bit. For quite a while. It was kind of weird.
Tom's
aback.
Giving me the evil eye.
It's like, wow, we're serious?
We're like talking about real stuff. And it's heated.
I thought for sure we were going to be focused on chickens today.
I thought we were going to be too.
Does he have to add his chicken coop to his insurance policy?
You do not. Well, unless you have the chalet. Because, you know, you want to make sure you have enough other structures coverage to cover the chalet. But, but with his house, I think he's okay.
Okay. All right.
I think we're all right. We got a sprinkler system in there. No, we don't.
Okay.
I kid, I joke.
Oh, God.
He's all funny.
Thanks for giving your wife ideas, by the way. Yeah.
No, not happening.
You will now.
It's hot out. That would be great to
It's not. You know what? We roofed it. Todd helped me finish the roof. While they were up
last week.
Yeah, last week. And it is so much cooler in there now.
Yeah, but yeah, wouldn't that be cool if you had a sprinkler system in there? I used to put like just a hose.
I don't have a sprinkler system in my house. Why would I put one in a chicken coop?
Oh, they would be dancing. You would see them do the chicken dance and fluff their feathers.
Okay, just stop.
No kidding.
Just stop. That's coming up next right here on Life Matters.
Wow.
Thanks, Renee.
Sure.
How do we get there?
I don't know.
You probably...
Stop what you're doing and listen.
Stop it.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Stop right there.
Stop! Stop it!
Just stop. Just stop talking.
Okay, you know, you were just saying sometimes when there's certain people in here, we just don't care how long we go. And
right.
We were like, oh my gosh, we only have a couple more minutes. Renee is one of them.
Absolutely.
Beth from the bottle shop is one of them. We have several people that we bring in and then we're just like, oops, we lost track
of time. Well, the time just flies by.
That's right. And it does when you're having fun.
That's why we should go 96.1 minutes. I'm just saying.
Hey, there is going to be a change to the show coming this fall. And it is.
Is there?
Yes. And it does have to do with the length of the show.
It's not getting shortened.
No. I would never shorten my own time.
I'm not
going to
say I'm winning, but I'm getting closer.
So we will see. We do have an announcement. It's going to come later off, closer to the fall. So we'll talk about that later. But anyway, I don't really have anything for Just Stop. I have something for Just Go this week.
Just Go?
Just Go. It's my favorite time of the year.
Oh,
starting on Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's Venetian Fest.
It is.
The Lake Geneva JC's Venetian Fest starts Wednesday. Oh, my gosh.
I got nothing to do next week.
I know.
Week.
It's my favorite time of the year here in downtown Lake Geneva. This might be my favorite fundraising event. I always am impressed watching these young men mentor the people, you know, the newer members of the JCs. I love watching them make the amount of money that they do to put back into the community. They put 100% of their money back in the community.
Oh,
I mean, it's crazy how much they do for, and it's not just Lake Geneva. They do it for a lot of different people here in Walworth County. So, Wednesday, we start off Wednesday with obviously live music every night, but let me just run down the list of some of the things that are going on, right? Huge carnival and games for the kids. Obviously, the weekend arts and crafts fair, bigger than ever this year. There's a bag-o tournament on Saturday, brand new on Sunday, a car show.
Oh, cool.
Yep. Of course, Sunday, we have the normal water ski show.
Where's that at, the car show?
Flatiron. Which car is up on the hill?
Seminary.
Seminary Park, I think. I think it's up on the hill.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Water ski show, of course, lighted boat parade on Sunday night. And then we have the fireworks. Remember that if you're watching the fireworks, we do it to music here at the station. So that's a big deal. But we have Sons of Scani on opening night. We have Rock Brigade on Thursday. Kelly Daniels on Friday. Two Hype Crew on Saturday.
As always.
I know nobody has any fun there. and then Big Al Wetzel.
Oh, cool.
He's on Sunday, kind of Sunday evening, Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Mm-hmm. And then the Venetian All-Stars close it out. And so they start playing, and then we do the fireworks, and then they continue on until they get the plug pulled by the cops. So... I'm just kidding.
Not saying nothing.
I think we've only had that happen one time. Literally pulled the plug because...
I had to do it once.
We did not stop. Yeah. So, but Rebecca and the Grey Notes and Rock Central are always are also weekend afternoon entertainment in the beer tent. So it's... this is an event that showcases the best of Lake Geneva, from the fundraising to the nonprofits that are there, you know, providing food and things like that, from the carnival rides and how much fun the kids have to, you know, the carnival's in two different places. There's a kiddie land in Seminary Park, and then and then the normal carnival stuff,
the bigger rides, yeah.
Over by the beer tent. There's tons of food. And then the entertainment is just top notch. And remember, every cent of profit that the JCs make on anything and everything they do goes back to the community in ways that you do know about and a lot of ways you don't know about. So go down to support them. And then if anything, make sure on Sunday night you tune into Lake 96.1 for the music to the fireworks.
Right. Yeah.
A little shameless self-promotion.
We'll sit back and watch
there,
them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, and get down there. It's always fun.
Mm-hmm.
Always fun.
It's fun. It's safe. It's a great time.
All those little vendors, you know, the local vendors, the American Legion, YMCA, Lions Club, all those guys, you know, their fundraising goes back to the community also.
Right, right.
You know, so go get some teriyaki sticks and some corn on a cob. And, oh, my God. Funnel cakes, you got to have those.
It's my favorite time of the year. It's the fattest time of the year.
It is, because you can just walk in a circle and eat and drink.
They just
stop at the porta potty.
You know what?
Eat and drink and eat and drink.
Because you know what? I do MC on the main stage the whole time for them, right? And
I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. And so I get paid in beer, and so it's like the best gig ever. But I have a routine. I get there, I check in, I see who's there yet, the sound guy, we check, you know, we talk, we do this, that, and then I go and I get my food.
Well, yeah.
And I have my routine, and I have, and so, yeah, I love Venetian Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, but get down there Wednesday through Sunday. I mean, it's just, it's a great, great time.
Yeah.
And you don't want to miss it.
Yeah, you never know. You might get some 96.1 stuff.
Yeah, I do definitely throw out swag from the sponsors of the bands in the beer tent, as well as Lake 96.1, so you never know when you might get some free stuff.
Right.
Anyway.
And it's always a good time.
Absolutely.
And if you went to Badger, there's a reunion every weekend.
Every weekend. Yep. That's right. That's right. So anyway, we will see you downtown this week at Venetian Fest. Otherwise, we will be here next week. We'll be exhausted on next Sunday morning, but that's okay. That's okay. We'll still be here.
We might not even been home yet. You don't know.
That's true. That's true. Don't say that. Anyway, coming up next, more music right here on Lake 96.1. We'll see you at Venetian Fest this week.